Dr. Mark Jobe has a strong word of hope for you today.
If you're going to move forward in joy, you need to understand that God is for you, not against you. And sometimes the best thing in your life is a closed door. In fact, if God would have opened every door that you wanted Him to, you would be in a heap of trouble right now. I'm going to give you five lessons from the front line that we learned from the life of Paul as he ministers in a spirit of joy.
Welcome to Moody Presents with Dr. Mark Jobe, president of the Moody Bible Institute and founding pastor of New Life Community Church.
I'm John Gager. Welcome to our message series, Lessons from the Front Lines.
We're headed for Philippians chapter 1. You and I are about to discover that often a closed door is God's arrow to an open door. Here's Pastor Mark.
We have the ability not only to choose joy, but to maintain joy. And so over these next couple of weeks, we are going to be looking specifically at the book of Philippians. Now, the book of Philippians has four chapters in it, and the Apostle Paul mentions joy or rejoicing or some conjugation or form of that verb 16 times in four chapters. So a lot of people have ended up calling it the book of joy. And there are some incredible, powerful, powerful lessons that we can learn from the book of Philippians as we study what it means to not only get joy, but keep joy and live in this attitude and spirit of joy. But actually, before we jump in the book of Philippians, we thought that it would be good to understand the background of this book. And so this morning, we're not going to look at Philippians. Next week, we are. But I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 16, because in Acts chapter 16, you actually have the story of how the Apostle Paul first encountered the city of Philippi and how the church at Philippi started. Now, in Acts chapter 16, you'll find the story of how the Apostle Paul went to Philippi, and it's about between 12 to 15 years later that he writes the book of Philippians, which is a letter to the believers that are at Philippi. But we felt it was important for you to understand the story before we jump into the book of Philippians, because I think there's some powerful lessons to be found right there in Acts chapter 16. So this morning I want to talk to you about lessons from the front line, learning from the Apostle Paul, not only the letter that he wrote, but how he lived his life full of joy. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 of chapter 16 out of the New International Version. It says, Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Persia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, I'm going to give you five lessons from the front line that we learned from the life of Paul as he ministers in a spirit of joy. Lesson number one, if you're taking notes this morning, you want to write this down because this is huge. Number one, often a closed door is God's arrow to the open door. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Often a closed door is God's arrow to an open door. I want you to see what happened here. The Apostle Paul is traveling with a group of people. Paul and Silas are traveling together, and a part of this group also is probably Luke, the fellow that wrote the book of Acts, Dr. Luke. They're traveling together, and their heart is to preach the gospel everywhere, but Paul had in his mind, I want to go to Asia. I want to preach the gospel in Asia. I want to tell people about Jesus in Asia. So he got his team together. He got his supplies. And they're traveling to Asia. But once they get close to Asia, look at what it says in verse 6. They were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. In other words, the Holy Spirit said to them, no, you cannot enter and preach in Asia. Now notice Paul had his plans already. He had his map drawn out already. He had the boats lined up. He had his travel plans all set aside. And the Spirit of God says, no, you can't go. Now Paul is kind of like us. He's a little stubborn. It tells us, verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, now you wouldn't know this unless you studied a little bit the geography of those days, but the town of Mysia is still in Asia. It's on the border of Asia, but it's still considered Asia. Paul, even though the Holy Spirit had said, don't go into Asia, Paul still tries to go to Asia because he's like us. Even though God closes a door, he still thinks, I'm going to try one more time. And so he tries to go to Asia, to Mysia, and again, it says, but the Spirit of Jesus, this time it says Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a closed door on your, and let me say this, I know you've had a closed door on you before. Because every person in this auditorium knows what it means to pray and believe for an open door and have that door slammed in our face. It may be the door of a job that you have been wanting and desiring for a long time, and you just say, if I could just get this job, this would answer so many problems in my life. And so you do the application, you do the interview, and it seems like it's good, and you do interview number 2 and interview number 3, and they like you, and they smile, and you say, I think I got it, this is in the bag, and man, life is going to change. You're already planning how you're going to spend your raise, and you're already buying clothes for the new job, and about the time you think this is it, you're going to give your notice at your other job, then boom, the door slams on you. And you say, God, I just cannot understand why you would do this. Or maybe you've been dating a guy for 3 years. I mean, you've been dating, you've done major investment in this relationship, and you've gotten to meet the parents, and they've met you, and you've exchanged notes, and you've planned your life together, and you think you imagine yourselves 20 years down the road, growing old together, and you already have baby names picked out for your kids, and you have a little tattoo with her name on your shoulder, whatever it is. And man, you guys are serious, and suddenly, right about the time you think it's going to be the big next step, the door closes, he drops off of the face of this earth, and you're in for a big surprise, and suddenly you discover the door is slammed in your face. That's what I call the bloody nose encounters. The moment you're going to walk through that door, the door slams, hits you right on the face. You're left with a bloody nose. Have you ever got hit in the face real hard before? Playing soccer or something, get hit in the face and it leaves you kind of dazed for a while. I was coaching my son's soccer game yesterday. And one of his buddies got hit in the face with a soccer ball. Hard, he got hit. And boy, he was like hyperventilating and really just, you know, this was really dramatic. He was, you know, really, really dazed and because it leaves you kind of that way. And many of you know Paul is experiencing that kind of sentiment right now. He feels like, God, what's up with this? I mean, we have planned. We have prepared. We thought we were in the center of God's will, and now when we're about to do what we've dreamed about doing, you close the door and you slam it twice and you make sure that we understand that we have no possibility of going through this open door. But I want you to understand very clearly right now that when you are seeking the face of God and the will of God, when a door is slammed closed in your face, there's always an arrow on that closed door pointing you to a better direction or pointing you to the next door that God wants for you.
Dr. Mark Jobe, helping us take some bold steps in choosing joy. This is a powerful message series, and we invite you to listen again online at moodypresents.org. That's moodypresents.org. Well, closed doors are a part of life, right? We've all faced them before, and we'll face them again. So we'd better have a biblical perspective on what they mean, or maybe don't mean. Let's head back to Pastor Mark's message here on Moody Presents.
You see, a closed door is not a closed door. A closed door is just an arrow pointing you to another open door that God has for you. Amen? listen to what it says. Paul went to bed. I'm sure he's all discouraged, a little bit confused. God, I don't understand. I thought you wanted us to do this. I have no direction right now. I mean, I thought I heard your voice clearly. And look at what it says. During the night, verse 9, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him. I don't know how he knew he was from Macedonia. Maybe it was the accent. Maybe it was the clothes he wore. But he knew this guy was from Macedonia. And in his vision, this man is saying, begging, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. You see, God was closing one door to open another door. And I think if you're going to move forward in joy, you need to understand, hello, that God is for you, not against you. And sometimes the best thing in your life is a closed door. In fact, if God would have opened every door that you wanted Him to, you would be in a heap of trouble right now. I've experienced that over and over in my life. I can think of a dozen times off the top of my head where God closed a door that I wanted Him to open, and God closed it, and I did not understand why at the moment, but God was steering me in a different direction. I mean, I remember years ago, I was praying, oh, God, give us a building. We need a building, God. And so finally, we thought we found the building that God had for us, and I went through the building. I thought this would be a great building. And some of you remember, we took an entire Wednesday night crowd out to the building. There's probably about 60 of us out there. And we said, we're going to lay hands on this building and pray for this building. So we all got up against the wall and prayed like this. I know there were some almost accidents at that time because people were driving looking for the police to see who was frisking us. We were praying, oh God, we need a building. This building would be great. We got an architect out there, and the architect drew plans of the building. We got all excited about moving. In fact, some of you may remember this, but there was a church closing in another neighborhood, and someone told us there are pews available. So we got all the men to go load up pews, and we filled our basement at 44th and Polina full of pews, get ready for our new building. And it went to the zoning board, and we got a letter back from the zoning board that said, the change in the permit for the zoning has been denied. I remember getting that letter and saying, God, I think there's been some like crisscross of communication. Remember we prayed? I mean, God, this is supposed to be our building. I mean, God, we had it all figured out. Why are you closing the door? In retrospect, I say, thank God He did. Because that building, the church continued to rapidly grow, and that building would have been way too small for what God was doing amongst us. But at the moment, we could not see why God wasn't opening the building. In fact, it was at that time that as a church, we decided to start doing small groups. And now New Life has over 125 small groups because we had no building to meet in. You see, God was closing a door in order to open another door that would be better for us. So I want you to, the first lesson I want you to understand as you move forward in joy is that often a closed door is God's arrow to an open door. Number two, lesson number two. I want you to write this down as well. When we meet needs, God has a way of supplying the means. Notice what it says in verse 11 here. So Paul and his crew decides to go down to Philippi. It says, from Troas we put out to sea and sailed straight to Samothrace, and the next day on to Neapolis. From there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of the district of Macedonia, and we stayed there for several days. 2 years ago I had the opportunity of visiting ancient Philippi. And I actually walked through the ruins of what was the city of Philippi, which is actually on the European side, not on the Asian side. First city in Europe that we have any indication that Paul led someone to Christ. And the Bible says as they went there, It says, on the Sabbath, we went outside of the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. Now, you understand that Paul was Jewish. And Paul's strategy in reaching cities at that time is he would look for a Jewish community and he would start with the Jewish individuals. And oftentimes, if there was a big enough Jewish community, they would have built a synagogue. And so he would go and preach at the synagogue. But if the community was too small, they would not have a synagogue. They would simply have a gathering place or a prayer place that on the Sabbath they would go to pray. So the Apostle Paul discovered that this place of prayer was down by the river. And when he showed up there, the Bible says that we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Times haven't changed, have they? The people gathering for prayer were women. You know, North America today, the churches oftentimes outnumber women to men 2-1. Because for whatever reasons, oftentimes women sometimes are the ones that are most sensitive to God and most given to spirituality. And I think they had a challenge back then, and we have a challenge today to have men rise up to their place of spiritual leadership in their home, in their marriage, and in the church and say, hey, guys, it is macho to be spiritual. True manhood has to do with men understanding their God-given position and being spiritual leaders in their community, in their church, and in their family. And all the men of God said, amen. So he goes out and he finds some women that are praying. The Bible says that one of those that was listening was a woman by the name of Lydia, and she was a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Now, as these women were gathered together, there was one woman there. She was a businesswoman. And we know that Thyatira was a place that was big in the textile industry. And she was a dealer in purple. Purple was the color of the most affluent textile. So she was a high-end businesswoman. Obviously, she had her own household. We don't know who her husband was. We don't even know if she was married. But it seems as though she was a successful, influential businesswoman. And she was the first European convert in the entire scripture. And the Bible says that God touched this woman's heart deeply. Not only did he touch her heart deeply, but the Bible says she was so touched that on that very day, she gave her heart to Christ, and look at what she did. The Bible says, when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. Not only did she get baptized, now think about this. She just heard the message, responded, opened her heart. In fact, I was at the river. We had a little prayer meeting there in Philippi, actually. At the river and at the spot where supposedly Lydia was baptized some 2,000 years ago. She got baptized that very day. She decided, if I'm going to follow Christ, I'm going to follow him all the way. No bars held back. If I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I'm going to go 100%. That very moment, she didn't even have baptism clothes. She got baptized right then and there. And then, not only did she get baptized, but she threw open the doors of her house and she said, my house is your house. Come on in. I'm going to host you folks. You can sleep at my house. You can stay there as you travel. I mean, that is genuinely a move of God. Can I pause for a moment, by the way, and say, if you have given your life over to Jesus Christ, if you have bowed your knee and received him as Savior and Lord of your life, then I want to challenge you. Why are you waiting to get baptized? You say, well, Pastor, I gave my life to Jesus, but I'm not sure if I'm ready for baptism. Can I tell you, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you are ready for baptism. You're ready. You say, well, I don't understand the water deal going down out of the water, why it's such a big deal. Let me tell you why it's such a big deal. Because whatever you've believed in your heart, you have to be willing to show on the outside. If you don't believe it enough to show it on the outside, maybe you haven't believed it enough. Hello. So baptism is a public sign so everybody can see as you go down into that water that your old self is left behind as you come out of that water, that you are risen as a new creation in Christ, like it tells us in Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. This woman got baptized right there, opened up her house right there, and provided a place for these folks to stay. Now, the interesting thing about this is that Paul and his team had no idea when they went to Philippi. They were there several days, and maybe they were sleeping in the streets. But here's the lesson I want you to remember. When you do the right thing, God always provides the means for you to do the right thing. See, some of you are saying, Pastor, I do the right thing, but you know, I'm waiting for that check in the mail. Hey, I'd help out if I got a bonus. How many of you know sometimes we just need to do the right thing? And as we do the right thing, God will open up the doors and begin to provide the means because God is faithful and true to do it, yes? I mean, that's what happened this past week at New Life, isn't it? Some of you were at the renewal meeting on Wednesday, not this past Wednesday, the previous, and we were praying in that chapel right over there. And one of the things that we prayed, a bunch of people, there was about 150, 200 people there, and we were praying, God, there's been a disaster in Louisiana and Mississippi. How do you want us to help? Do you remember praying that, those of you that were there? Oh, God, how do we help out? Show us, open up the door. We pray, but how do you want us to get involved? That next day, one of the people from the church, Vicki Amick, she saw a fella on TV that had just driven up from Ocean Springs, Mississippi, to get help here. Immediately called and said, hey, we'll help this guy. He came on over here, and we said, hey, we heard that there's a need in your town. We're going to help you fill up a semi-truck and send it down there. Now, we didn't have a truck. We didn't have food. We didn't have pallets. We just had people that said we're willing to help out. Within a short amount of time, there was a truck out there. And let me tell you, the first day when we started this, I was really worried. I went out and looked at the truck, and it was a 48-foot truck. I said, oh, help us, Lord. It's a big 48-foot truck, long, and we got a pile this big in the warehouse. And two volunteers. Well, let's see. At this pace, it's going to take us about 3 months to fill up this truck. Lord, help us. But you know what? We knew it was the right thing to do because there was a need and we needed to respond to the need. And suddenly, to my amazement and surprise, people at New Life started to hear about it. People in the community started to hear about it. And people started bringing. Soon there were lines of cars, trunks full of water and canned food and clothes and... Why? Well, we didn't have everything figured out. All we knew is we were doing the right thing. And when you do the right thing and step out in faith, then God opens up the door and God provides the means. The news reporter that first got the story, she was so touched by what she saw also around here that she got in her work clothes and 2 days straight she came out and helped load and help package things and came out with her son and helped out because she saw what people were doing and was so touched in her heart that she said, I want to be a part of this. Yes. So here's what I want you to understand. I want you to understand that when we meet a need, God also supplies the means, and the Apostle Paul did that with a spirit of joy. The third point I want you to understand is this. That even the enemy will shout truth in order to trap us in his deception. Look what happened next. So Lydia brings all the people over to her house. They're staying at her house. They're rejoicing in what God has done. Verse 16. Once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl. Now remember, the first convert is a businesswoman. The second convert is a slave girl. Not only just a slave girl, but a troubled girl. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. This is called the spirit of divination. Spirit of divination. Can I stop here and say that if you've ever been to a curandero, You say, well, I think they're kind of, you know, they got a picture of Jesus on their wall. Well, I'm glad they got a picture of Jesus. All kinds of religious artifacts, and they break some egg and do some voodoo over you. Listen, I don't care how spiritual it looks, it's not of God. Let me say it again. It is not of God.
A powerful, true story illustrating Pastor Mark's observation, when we meet needs, God has a way of supplying the means. Today on Moody Presents, we've heard part one of Pastor Mark's message, Joy is a Choice. Next time, we'll learn more about the biblical decisions that you and I make that really do add up to joy. We're heading for the book of Acts for some great stories. That's next time on Moody Presents with Dr. Mark Jobe. I'm John Gager. Today's program is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.